Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to go back and focus on that James reading that you heard earlier. It's the end of James. We have now come to the end of James here with this chapter. And over the previous chapters, James paints a portrait of struggle. A portrait of struggle by living in a new paradigm. You're no longer living a life that's driven by my wants, my needs, my feelings. Now living a life that's driven by the call of the kingdom of God. So think with me, if you had written the content of the book of James, how would you have ended this letter? Now maybe you would have ended it with words of encouragement. Or maybe you would have ended it with a benediction. Maybe you would have ended it with a very clear reminder of the rescuing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But James takes a different direction in the last two verses that we're really going to focus on. In a real way, these two verses summarize powerfully everything that James has said to us as he's painted this comprehensive portrait of life as a believer in a broken and fallen world. So look again with me, if you would, in your bulletins at that passage, specifically verses 19 and 20 of James 5. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Now, you may look at these verses and say, well, what does that have to do with the message of James? What does wandering away from truth have to do with what James has been trying to teach us all along? But really, this is the only thing that James has talked about. What James has talked about from beginning to end is this shocking and scary potential all of us have in some way to wander from the truth. You know, as long as there is still sin living in our lives and in our hearts, there is in every one of us a proneness to wander. And I can't help think of the words from the third verse of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Is that one you remember? You know, O grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, and goodness, that's the grace part now, like a fetter, so let that grace be a chain that binds my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here is my heart. O take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. James has talked to us about how we will wander into doubt in moments of trial. How in subtle ways, by the desires of our own heart, we wander into temptation. How we will wander away from graciousness in all forms into ungodly anger. How we wander from humble love into prejudice. How we wander into a separation from what we say we believe to the way that we actually live. How we wander from dependency in God into self-sovereignty. How we wander away from unity and peace into conflict. How we wander from thankfulness into unthankfulness and into grumbling. How easily we wander into unbiblical and unhelpful talk. How we wander, even though we say we believe in God, into desperate and prayerless living. And basically, that's the book of James. At every point, James is warning us about the potential we have to wander away from the truth. And we never wander away in one big dramatic moment. One of the things that I think is wrong with the way we interpret these verses is that we interpret it with way more drama than James ever really meant. Because every person who has wandered, well, that wandering started out subtly. It started out in the mundane. It started out with seductive lies. It started out with self-serving little arguments. And it's grown. and it's grown and it's grown until shockingly that person has turned their back on the only thing that would ever give them hope, the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't start that dramatically. It starts with subtle little wanderings. There are perhaps ways in which all of us have opened our hearts and lives to the things that we would have never thought of doing when we first came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this passage is a mirror. It's a call for all of us to own the places where we have been quite comfortable with wandering away from the truth. You know, listen to the warning that is so powerful here in this passage. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings that sinner back from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. It's a warning, but it's also something more. You know, right in the middle of this very important warning, a warning that's given to everyone in this room and everyone who's watching online, there's a call. A call to action. It's a call to loving and restorative relationships with one another. You know, it's an amazing thing that bringing back of a person is not just assigned to the pastors and the elders. This restorative mission, this rescuing mission, is a call to every person in the Church of Jesus. You know, look around. You are the rescuers that God has placed in his church. Trinity is not just to be a place where you can find ministry. It must be an organic ministering community. And part of that new paradigm is that I just don't live my life for my own spiritual well-being, but I accept the moral responsibility for the well-being of the people that God has placed into my life. I am part of what God is doing on earth. I am part of his system of rescue. I'm an instrument of his restoration, and I must live that way. Here's the bottom line. You can't minister to people that you don't know. And we have to stop living in terminally casual relationships with nice talk that never reaches where we actually live. With relationships that never grow knowledgeable, that never can be restorative, because we never break through the casual. That is giving the enemy an opportunity in our midst. So I would ask you, do you have a consumer's relationship with the body of Christ or a rescuer's relationship? Are you here with the mentality that I am part of the ongoing work of redemption that God is doing, and I recognize that it's a level playing field because of our proneness to wander? All of us are in need of help, and all of us are called to be helpers. So do you live with the restorer's intentionality? Do you work to have relationships that press beyond the casual so that you know the struggles of people? So that you can pray for them wisely? So that you can ask good questions? So that you can be part of this calling back that needs to happen all the time? I'll speak for myself. There's not a week where somehow, some way, I don't need to be called back. You know, James here is a good pastor. He gets how immense the task is, and it's right that he ends this book that's been a portrait of wandering with a call to loving, restorative, redemptive community. So are you receiving the call? Are you living the call? Are you making intentional relational decisions to be part of what God is doing in the lives of the people that God has sovereignly placed in your path? Let's look at that verse 20 again. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So having given us a warning, Having mobilized us with a call, James wants to remind us of how high the stakes are. You know, we can tell ourselves it's not such a big thing. We tell ourselves it won't hurt us, these small wanderings. We tell ourselves we can handle it. We tell ourselves we didn't really mean it. We tell ourselves it's not really us. It was really caused by someone else. And all of those things end up minimizing what James is trying to say to us. So listen, when you wander away, you are wandering towards something that is dangerous and destructive, life-altering, and it's called death. And if your life is moving in a life direction, moving in obedience and submission and hope and encouragement towards the call of Jesus, or your life is moving in a death direction, where you're beginning to step away from those commitments, the stakes are high. The stakes are high in your marriage. The stakes are high at your school. The stakes are high at your place of employment. The stakes are high in your friendships. The stakes are high even in the privacy of your own solace. Stakes are high, and all the while there is an enemy who would whisper into our ears, "It's not so dangerous. It's not so bad." Stakes are high. And that's why the warning is so important. That's why the call is so important. And that's why the encouragement of grace is so timely. Whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. But I want to be clear. James is not saying that when you get involved with God's rescue mission, all of a sudden, you have messianic power. You will never have messianic power. And I hope that's not a shock to anyone who's hearing this. But when you bring someone back, you're bringing them to the Messiah. The Messiah who has awesome power to rescue, to forgive, to restore, to heal, to cleanse. And Jesus is glorious in his patience. He's glorious in his grace. And you would expect a holy God to say, "How dare you wander away from me?" But our holy God says, "I've died to forgive you. I've died to cover your sins. I have died to restore you." If you embrace this warning, if you accept this call, if you believe in that grace, well, then how can you be inactive? Because if the warning is true, and it is, and if the call is for all of us, and it is, and if this grace is available, then the activism of this body should be unrelenting. We would be God's rescuers because we know the danger of the proneness of the heart to wander. We know that all of us haven't only been adopted into his family, but we've also been employed into his service. And we know that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And because of all of that, we move out. We want to know one another, not just because relationships are fulfilling, but because we see this kingdom and its call in those relationships. And we say, if I live 80 years and only at one moment in 80 years am I used as the hands of God to rescue another person from spiritual death, well, then my life has been worth living. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Here's my heart, take and seal it. May God help us to be that loving, restorative, redemptive community. And so be it. Amen. Will you stand with me as